This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. No one wants to grow old, although as they say, it sure beats the alternative. But are there things we can do, starting today, to keep our minds and bodies in tip-top running order until the time comes when we're forced to cast off this mortal coil? Our guest offers an emphatic yes. Dr. Arlene Taylor is a leading speaker on brain function and helps individuals learn how to, as she puts it, thrive by design. She says there's definitely a lifestyle we can all employ that will help us live longer and better. Dr. Taylor, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you very much, Charles.
Now, in your book, Age Proofing Your Brain, you outline not one or two, but 21 key factors for helping us stay younger longer. We may not have time to touch on every one of them, but are there several that you feel are top of the list, things we can start doing today to guard the quality of our days to come?
The bottom line is this. Research is burgeoning on how we can live longer and keep life in our years.
Yes.
And the general consensus among many of the people that I speak with and read the studies is that more than half of all the factors that impact aging and brain function are within our partial, if not complete, control.
Wow.
Now, that's fabulous. So I tell people, put your time, money, energy into those areas that research suggests really will make a difference, because we've only got so much time and money and energy.
That's true. Well, now, what would you start with? How would you take your time, money, and energy and start it today on what? What would be your number one goal this day?
Well, my number one goal always is, what is your mindset? What's your perspective? How much have you learned about the process? Because everything starts in the brain. This is the age of the brain.
Yes.
And as Henry Ford reportedly said, your brain can only do what it thinks it can do. And you are the one who tells it what it can do. If it thinks it can or it thinks it can't, it's right.
Yeah.
So what's your perspective about aging? I'm delighted that I have lived as long as I am. And of course, I've told you before, I'm aiming to be 122 years, 164 days at least.
Okay, very good.
Because there's good research that, you know, 70% of how long we live and how well we live has to do with our choices, our lifestyle. So what's your perspective? Do you get up every morning going, oh my goodness, I got another creak this morning? Or do you say, I am so happy and grateful to have another day on this planet, because so many people that we love, still love in memory, didn't have that option.
Right.
So if that's your perspective, then what are you doing to learn the information? Because you've got to learn some information that you can then turn into knowledge and practically apply on a daily basis, because information is just information unless you internalize it and turn it into your own knowledge base and then use it.
Now, this is interesting because you haven't said anything about genetics here. You haven't said how long your grandparents lived or your parents lived or how long Uncle Joe lived, even though he was a drunk and smoked cigarettes. He lived to be so. You haven't mentioned genetics here at all. You'd mentioned things that are within our power.
Yes, genetics has to do with genes and chromosomes that we inherit, the DNA and so on and so forth, from our biological ancestors. But researchers are beginning to look at that may be only about 30% of the impact to our level of wellness and longevity. The rest of it is probably in the science of epigenetics, the cellular memory that we get from our biological ancestors for the last three or four generations, that we can pass on for three or four generations. And those memories are filed on the protein strands in the cell nucleus. And they give us a push, an impetus toward behaviors. So, for example, if you come from a family system where the men get drunk every Saturday night, you probably have some cellular memory that this is a style of life. And if you don't learn different information and make a different choice, you're highly likely to follow that pattern. Or if you hated it, you may do 180 degrees different. And I like to point out to people that if you believe that your environment was dysfunctional, and every family is dysfunctional, it's just their layers of dysfunction.
Yes.
You know, if you believe that, you'll act it out. And if you want to do 180 degrees different, 180 degrees from dysfunctional is still dysfunctional. So that's where you need to learn the information and craft a healthier lifestyle for you. You can't do anything about the past, yours or your family.
So when you have the mindset that you mentioned just moments ago about getting up in the morning and saying, wow, it's another day, I can do great things today, you are actually imprinting this type of attitude on your DNA, and that can be passed on to generations to come?
You will file it, not necessarily in your DNA, but on those protein strands
okay.
in the cell nucleus.
All right, okay.
And yes, you can pass on that type of attitude.
Wow.
So
wow.
Epigenetics is about the memories that are filed in the cells of your body that you can't really consciously identify necessarily, but they give you a push toward behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
70% has to do with epigenetics, the habits you develop, your mindset, what you learn, so on and so forth. And epigenetics, everything in your environment, what you eat, what you drink, how much you sleep, how much exercise you get, your support network, on and on, those epigenetic factors can actually impact your genes and turn them on or turn them off. So we really are a nature-nurture combination, and we don't really have any say over the nature part, what we got. I didn't choose my parents. I don't know if you did, Charles, but
no.
I didn't choose my parents.
I was just born, and there they were.
Exactly. I'm not saying I would not have chosen my parents, because I am who I am because of, you know, what they gave me,
sure.
but I didn't choose them.
Okay.
But epigenetics, I start choosing very early in life and building those habit patterns and so on, yes, that we can pass on. And if the scientists are correct that maybe 70% has to do with epigenetics, oh my goodness, Charles, I can do a lot
yes.
about the 70%.
Yes, you can. Well, that puts the ball in our field. It is our serve, and I'm loving what you're saying here, because I'm kind of a guy that likes to take control of what's going on in life, and too many people have sort of given up. You see them. You see them on the sidewalk. You see them at work. Well, this is the way it's going to be. I can't do anything about it, and I'm just going to have to live with it. But you're saying, no, 70% of your life is under your control, and we're going over this list here. You talked about our perspective when we get up, the mindset, affirming self-talk you mentioned here. Also, active mental picturing. How does that go along with what we're doing to bring ourselves years and years of living life to come?
When you use the word control,
uh-huh.
it's important to understand that you're not omniscient.
No.
You're not all-powerful. You
yes,
can't control
yes.
everything.
Yes, yes.
But if 70% is in our control, that doesn't mean that you could control that somebody ran into the back of your car.
That's true. That's true.
Unless you were driving inappropriately.
Yes.
What you can control about that is your thoughts about that, the pictures you make in your mind, and how you recover from that. So you control what you can control, recognizing that it's not going to be absolute. But I'll tell you, some control is better than no control. So the part about active mental picturing, you know, another word for that is just visualization.
Yes.
What you're doing, well, every word you speak, everything you hear, every thought you think is turned into a type of picture in your brain. You know, your brain works on the principle of making pictures. So let me say, for example, I get up this morning and I say, Arlene, you are having a wonderful day. Get your clothes on, drink your water. We're going for a walk. All right. The minute I say we're going for a walk, what do you see in your brain?
I see trees and sidewalks and dogs in the yard and waving at neighbors.
And you see yourself walking.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you tend to follow through on the pictures that your brain sees, which is the reason you only ever, ever talk about what you want to have happen. You stop talking about what you don't want to have happen. Because the minute you tell your brain what you don't want to have happen, you implement what Dr. Daniel Wegner called the white bear phenomenon. You know, behind your forehead, there is this area that's generally called working memory. And what you're consciously thinking about goes into working memory. And that's then what the subconscious parts of your brain start to follow. So Dr. Wegner said, for example, if I say to you, Charles, don't think about the white bear, what are you going to do with that?
I thought about the white bear instantly.
And you will keep thinking about it as long as you keep saying, don't think about the white bear. And the folly of that is not only are you thinking about precisely what you or somebody else doesn't want you to think about, your subconscious parts try to follow that.
And you think
about it even more. And the worst part is it tells you what not to do, but it doesn't tell you what to do. The other day I was providing a seminar at a university for a bunch of freshmen. Oh, my goodness, Charles. They looked really, really young. I stood there and I was surprised. So we were talking about the white bear phenomenon because so often they say, I don't think I'm going to pass this exam. And sometimes they don't. And that's so unhelpful because you've just programmed your brain that you're going to fail. But there were a couple of good thinkers in that freshman class, probably others, but those were the ones who were verbal.
Yes.
So when I talked about the fact that you tell yourself what you don't want, it goes right into working memory. And, you know, you know at some level what you don't want to do, even though that's all you're thinking about. And one of them put up his hand and said, yeah, but they didn't tell you what to do. And another girl said, yeah, if you don't want me to think about the white bear, what do you want me to think about? And I said, brilliant. That's the point. If you've got that, you are light years ahead of most people on this planet. So you need to understand that what you think and what you say and what you hear and what you read and what you watch on TV, all of that creates pictures in your brain. So you ask yourself, what kind of pictures in your brain today will help you live a longevity lifestyle, high-level healthiness? And to get those pictures, what do you need to tell yourself? And it gets very basic, Charles. You know, research is that, we already mentioned that, unfortunately, every family is dysfunctional, but some have higher levels of dysfunction than others. Research shows that in an average family, kids grow up hearing 9 or 10 negative instructions for every positive. Don't touch the stove. Don't forget your homework. You know, don't put that on. Don't leave that there. Don't talk back to me, and so on. Goodness, their brains are being programmed with exactly the kinds of thoughts that are unhelpful in life. And it gets worse. If you come from a family that's just egregiously, obviously dysfunctional, lots of abuse, you know, control issues and so on, they may hear 30 or 40 negatives for every positive. So that's why I say mindset and self-talk are so key, because they create the pictures, the internal mental pictures that your subconscious mind follows when you're busy showering and driving to work and, you know, planning this, that, and the other thing. It's huge, Charles, and those we can control. You may not control every thought that crosses your brain. You may have controlled the scary movies you stayed up till 2 a.m. to watch. In that sense, you have some control over the thoughts that are triggered. But free will actually may consist of the moment you become aware of a thought in your mind, your immediate choice is, do you want to keep thinking about that thought, harboring it, taking action on it, or do you want to change that to a different thought?
Wow, I tell you what, we are learning good things from Arlene Taylor today. We're talking about her book, Age Proofing the Brain. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, let's learn a little bit more about how we can age proof our brains and our bodies and live a long and healthy life. So stay right where you are.
I hurt my knee a few years ago and have considerable inflammation. Any suggestions? I'm Dr. James Markham here with your biblical prescription for life. Let's look at Mark 15:24. Therefore, I say unto you, what the things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall receive them. So prayer is a crucial ingredient for any aspect of our health. Other things that might help from the Bible: rest, water, nutrition, physical therapy. Inflammation can respond to things like ginger, almonds, and walnuts. If this helps, great. If not, a short term of medication might be needed. Well, the biblical prescription I want to start with for all health issues is a biblical prescription of prayer and believing in the healing power of God. If you have more questions, go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Somewhere in the world, someone needs healing. He or she has just spent a restless night fighting chronic illness or fear. Hope is fading. The future is dark. And then something amazing happens. They hear a radio program called Heartwise, or watch a television program called The Ultimate Prescription, or perhaps they stumble upon the website heartwiseministries.org, and suddenly, they realize that they don't have to be sick anymore. They can alter their lives through simple yet powerful lifestyle changes. Hope is renewed, and the fear and sickness subside. I'm Nick Evanson, production manager at Heartwise Ministries. This scenario takes place daily because of your support of this ministry. When you go to heartwiseministries.org and pledge your support, you're helping bring healing to a sick world through information and education. Your partnership creates a profound difference in the lives of people none of us will ever meet. Take a moment, bring healing to someone else in the world. Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Arlene Taylor, author of the book, Age Proofing Your Brain. We're going over 21 items that she says that can help us live longer, happier, and healthier lives. And we've touched on a few of them. Arlene, before the program's over, you said something about a 20-80 rule in your book, a potent 20-80. What is that, and why do we need to know it?
Well, the 20-80 rule probably derives from work by Epictetus, a second century Greek philosopher, who said it's not so much what happens to you that matters, it's what you think about what happened that matters. And Dr. Hans Selye sort of went right along with that. You know, he said adopting the right attitude can convert a negative stress into a positive one. So what the 20-80 rule basically says is that you can't control everything. All right, we've already established that. And when an event or situation occurs, about 20% of any negative impact to you, your brain, your body is going to be because of the event itself. But 80% has to do with your attitude toward it, your perception, what you think about it, how you regurgitate it to others, how much you rehearse it, what parts you dwell on. And you can do almost everything about the 80%, because all those thoughts, perspectives, feelings, we create individually. So for me, the 20-80 rule is just one of the most helpful things I've ever learned, because when something unfortunate happens and I can't control it, I know that I'm not a victim. I know that I am not powerless. I may not be able to affect the event, but that's only 20%, Charles. I can do everything about the 80% by changing my mindset, my self-talk, my perspective. And to me, that's a huge gift.
Boy, I guess so. And it's very positive. We feel that we're victims, but you're saying we're not victims at all.
Well, I believe that a victim position is a choice. Sometimes people say to me, you know, I'm special because blah, blah, blah happened to me, and I'm a victim of this, that, or the other thing. And I said, yes, you are, because you think you are. I believe that the survivor position is where we need to be and where I want to go. I am not a victim, Charles. Bad things have happened to me. Okay, I've learned from some of them. I've healed from most of the rest of them, as far as I know. I am a survivor. A victim stance is nothing I want anything to do with, because every person on this planet could say they were a victim. Sure. Because we live in a war zone.
Yes. When we tie all this together, in the last couple of minutes of the program, we tie it all together, how does it make us live longer? How does it make us live better, what you've just told us?
That's individual for different people, but I'll tell you, living this kind of lifestyle not only gives your brain and body to the best of your ability what it needs to function optimally, but you reduce stress. It's just huge how stress can shorten life. So the whole package together, if you had to say one thing, is about hope and stress reduction. And that is good for both the brain and body, and for everybody you come in contact with.
All right, very good. Dr. Arlene Taylor has been our guest today. Dr. Arlene Taylor, where can we learn more about you and the books you have available? Where can we go?
Well, you can go to my website. It's very simple. It's basically my name, arlenetaylor.org, because I have a nonprofit corporation that does brain function research and provides resources and so on.
All right. Very good. Arlene, A-R-L-E-N-E, arlenetaylor.org is the website. Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for being with us today. I want to have you back on the program in the weeks to come. You have so many good things to say, and we have just scratched the surface here on the 21 key factors that we can use to control our lives and help us stay younger, longer, and we all want to do that. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Arlene Taylor, inviting you to remain HeartWise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.